we're going to continue to actually, you know, conclude the discussion that began last week. Before we go on to the Gemara, just to quickly review for the benefit of a couple who are not here, and for the rest of us, just to review, which is always helpful. We reintroduced ourselves to a machlokes that we had seen in the past, machlokes between Tosfos and the Ramban, although other Rishonim clearly discussed this issue as well, as to whether or not there is an exemption of ones gamur when it comes to damages that are caused by a person. And generally we know that we have a rule, a sacred rule, which we learned in the Mishnah previously, in the last parak, that adamur li'olam bein ba'ones bein baratzom, that a person is always going to be chayiv for actions that he causes, regardless of whether or not there was any intent or willingness on his part. Nevertheless, Tosfos on Chavzayin Amabez, and again, for those who were not here last week, we went back a little bit to take a look at this Tosfos. Tosfos on Chavzayin Amabez introduces the concept that there is a possibility that even though the Gemara teaches, found in the Mishnah, that there's a special exemption for Ones, that there's a Chiyuv for Ones, there's a special exemption of Ones Gamur. And Tosfos gives various proofs for this. Tosfos on Chavzayin Amabez, Diba Maskul Shmuel, so first of all begins by discussing the concept of Niskal Poshaya, which is actually what enabled us to what triggered this discussion again, because that question, this kapha sheh, is found in our sugya, whether or not when a person trips or not, that's considered a negligence. And then Tosfos says, you see from various sugyas and shas that there is a concept of ones gamur. So for example, the three examples that Tosfos cites, and I'll just say them again outside, because again we're not going to spend time reviewing them inside again, but Tosfos says the first is the famous psak of the Yerushalmi, that if a person goes to sleep and no one is sleeping next to him when he goes to sleep, and when he wakes up, he discovers that there was in fact someone lying next to him, and while this individual was sleeping, he hit this guy that wasn't even there when he went to sleep. So the Yerushalmi says the person who went to sleep first is going to be putter for damages that he caused while he was sleeping. So Tosfos says, why is he putter? It must be because this is an unbelievable illness. There was nothing that he could possibly have done to prevent such a hezek from occurring. So Tosfos says, you see from the Yerushalmi that there's a patur of ones gamur. Tosfos says there's another example that we could cite, and that is the Gemara that says later on, it's really a Mishnah, we haven't learned it yet, on Daf Lamed Aleph, which teaches that if two people are walking in the street, one of them has a long pole and the guy has a pitcher, and the guy with the pole is behind the guy with the pitcher, if the guy with the pitcher stops short and just comes to a complete standstill in the middle of the street and the guy behind him hits him, So the din is that the person who hit him with the pole is going to be exempt as well. Why? So Tosfos says here as well, this is the concept of Ones Gamur. It would have been impossible for him to prevent that from occurring. We mentioned obviously last week, why didn't he distance himself appropriately? So we'll hold off till we get to that sugya. And finally, perhaps the most fascinating case of all, and the one we're actually going to explore a little more closely this evening, is the Gemara which Tosfos cited from later on in this case where a person dies and had a cow in his possession, and of course his children who inherited his estate assumed that the cow belonged to the father, and only after they shecht it did they discover that in fact this cow was borrowed. So the Gemara later on rules that despite the fact that they shechted a cow that did not belong to them, they're only chayiv to pay for the hana, they're only chayiv to pay for the benefit that they receive, but for damages they're not chayiv to pay. So here as well, Tosfos reasons that the svara behind this is what's called ones gamur. After all, Abba died, this is what he left us, who would have known that this wasn't his? So being that that is a circumstance which is almost completely beyond their control, so therefore, in that case, there is a patur of ones gamur. Tosfos cites these examples and others as well, which seem to indicate that it's not a rule across the board that a person is always chayiv for actions that he causes, although he's chayiv more so than he is for his property, for damages which the property causes. So the patur of ones, which would apply by mamono shehizik, won't apply to him. Nevertheless, ones gamur is an exemption which would apply even by adam. We mentioned that the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says there is no such patur, and the Ramban has a way to deal with the various rayos that Tosfos brings. However, the Ramban does not deal with this last example, the one that we were somewhat fixated on last week, the case of Hiniach lehem aviyam parashu'ula. Their father leaves them a cow. The cow was a borrowed cow. So kesvurim, they thought that it belonged to their father. They shecht it, they eat it. So then the din is they only have to pay the hanah, they don't have to pay for the damages. The Ramban doesn't explain this gemara. So the Ramban's explanations for the other sugyas won't work over here. How does the Ramban get himself out of the Yerushalmi Raya? Right? Tosfos says, you see, when people are sleeping next to each other, so the fact that I hit a guy who wasn't there when I went to sleep, so you see there's a p'tur of onus gemara. The Ramban says nothing to do with onus gemara. The reason why you putter in that case is because it's his fault. He put himself in a place where he was essentially making himself very vulnerable. He put himself in a place where it would have been easy for him to get hurt. So that's why you putter. The same is true with the guy who's walking in the street and he stopped short. That was a stupid thing for him to do. So we say almost like he brought the damage upon himself. But you can't really say that in the case where the children inherit a cow from their father. What was it that the mashiel, the person who lent the paro, what did he do wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. He was a nice neighbor. He lent the cow. His neighbor died unexpectedly. And now he comes and discovers that the cow was shechted. So you can't say it was his fault for lending the cow. He didn't do anything wrong. So how is the Ramban, who says that there's no p'tur of onus gemara, how is he going to explain that exemption? So if you take a look at the Kehilas Yaakov, which is found on the first side of the page that I printed, and the page I gave out tonight is very similar to that which we gave out last week with one additional source this week. So the Kilos Yaakov, the stipler, has a tshuva over here, an essay where he's discussing various laws of ones. And in the last paragraph over here, so it actually begins on the bottom of the right hand column. So he deals with this question. He writes, Od hochichu atosos. Tosos further prove, Deva'onis gomor patzer adam amazik, mehod ksubas amadalit. They try to bring a riot from the Gemara in Ksubas, where hiniach lehem avien paran sh'ula. The Gemara cites it later on above a comma, but the original source is Ksubas daf lamadalit, where father dies, leaves a borrowed cow behind, tavchuhu v'achluhu. They shecht it, they eat it. So in this case, meshalmin d'mei basa bezol. They pay only the equivalent of the cheapest equivalent meat available. Hainu mashanene. In other words, they pay for the benefit that they received from a free meal of Adamei Kula, but in terms of paying all damages, midin mazik, so then paturim, they're exempt. Hainu mishum, so Tosfos says, why is this so? This is onus gomer. So Tosfos says, this is perfect for the way we explain these exemptions that are found in various sugyos and shas. L'shitas Ramban. But according to the Ramban, who says begam ba'onis gamur chayiv adam amazik, so how you can explain according to the Ramban? So I don't remember if we said this far last week. Before we look on, does anybody want to suggest it? Actually, I think it was said last week. But why is it that there's a special exemption over here? Now, according to the Ramban, there's no p'tur of onis gamur. So why is it that the Gemara rules that if a person inherits a cow and shechts it, thinking it was his, that he somehow he's going to be exempt from having to pay in that case? Why? He's a mazik. What's his excuse? What could he possibly say to get him out of having to pay? The rule is, in general, an adam a mazik is chayif. Now, if you say onus gamur, that's going to work according to Tosfos. The Ramban says there is no p'tur of onus gamur. No such thing. So how you can explain this? Yeah. Right.
It was in his house. It's his property.
So?
So he didn't know that he shot it.
Right.
So he's good.
Everything. You can't say that because it's going to work. We want to explain according to Ramban. According to Tosfos, this is certainly an onus gomer. Even the Ramban is going to call this an onus gomer, but the Ramban says it doesn't matter. The Ramban says you're chayiv to pay even for onus gomer. So I'm looking for an explanation that does not include the words onus gamur, because that's not going to help us over here. The fact of the matter is, you're right, it is correct, and of course this is an onus gamur. What's he supposed to check everything? But we can't use that as a basis for an explanation according to the Ramban. And the Ramban, who holds this position that there is no sort of onus gamur, he's also going to have to reconcile his position with this Gemara. So, right, so what was said last week was along the following lines. In Nira, the Hacha Shiny, this case is different. The Chol Ones, whenever we speak about Ones, Hare Masa Hezek Asalo La Soso. The action which led to the damage was, in the end, even if he'd realized it initially, was prohibited for him to do. Virak Shenenas Be'asiyah Ba'asiyazu. So what's the Ones? The onus is that I was forced to do this. There were some circumstances that I could not control, which forced me to do it. So again, the guy's walking down the street with the pole. The guy in front of him stops. So it was prohibited for him to go ahead and smash into the guy in front of him. But he's exempt. What? Why? Because he couldn't control. That's the concept of onus. He couldn't control it. But over here, Kevin the Chazaka, since, as you just said, there's a Chazaka, there's an understanding, it's a given, Shetachas Yad Adam Shalohu, that which is my possession belongs to me, so therefore, Hayimutah Lehem Al Pidin Litvoach V'Le'achlo. It was really permissible for them to shecht it and to eat it. That was a God-given right that they have by virtue of the fact that it's in their possession. Uvrishus HaTorika of it. Ukahai Gav Nelekim Idin Adam Amazik. It's not called Adam Amazik at all. I'm sorry? Right, the act is a permissible act.
The other
one is,
I'm causing damage.
Right.
I'm not causing damage here.
I'm doing a permissible act. Right. Exactly. I'm doing a permissible act, and it turns out later, as the entire, all the facts become revealed, so it turns out that it wasn't mine, so I shouldn't have done that. But even you know, looking back retrospectively, it was still permissible for me to do what I did. Masha Ein Kein in the situation where I cause an act of damage, even if what, it's uncontrollable, that's still called a Maisa Hezek. So the way the Ramban would explain this, according to the Stipler, is it's not called Hezek at all. And then he says, Shuv Matsasi, after I had this svar, I found in the Shita B'Kubetzes, Nakamar Ksuba Zaklamadalid, B'Shem HaRamban, Shehevi Divi Arrived. So the Ramban seems to deal with this problem. He brings the Ravid, and the Ravid says, what's his quote? B'Had Zavchu Av Achlu Ad Pturin L'Shalim D'Mei Hezek, Rasha Mashanene, Vizel Shono, Aval Hai Dibrashus Kanachis, this situation where it was done with permission, the Ksvurin Haim Shalaviyamhu, because they thought it was their father's blow, Bakhule, etc. Vasim Vizenachon the Indian Rashus. Okay, Vasim Vizenachon, he concludes this is correct. So the Indian Rashus, Shehiz Kikan Ramban, what is this concept of Rashus? Hainu Rashus HaTorah. This says the side was what we were just saying, the concept of the Torah granting him permission. The chazaka, the mashatachas, yad adam shalohu, what a person has in his possession is his. It's like a person getting up in the morning and wondering, can I really put my glasses on? Maybe someone came in the middle of the night and switched them, and they're not mine. You don't have to assume that. It was by my bed, the stomach's mine. It's not like a situation where a person is, so now he relates this back to a previous issue that we didn't even see over here. So that's a different type of. We're going to stop right here. But what the Stipler writes, again, is that according to the Ramban, he'll explain the case of Tavchu Avachlu because of the fact that what they did was not a Maisa Hezek at all. What they did was totally Brishus, it was totally with the permission of the Torah, so to speak. And we won't read it inside, but on the top of the side two, the Nachlas David says the same. Has the same svara. I'm sorry?
So, if, for example, the heirs would have had a glass bowl, and would have dropped the glass bowl, and they find out later it belongs to somebody else, they would never be responsible for the glass bowl.
No, because it's there. A person can break his own cable. If I take your cow and I shecht it, it's also my tzedek. It was only.
I know it's your cow.
Right. So over here, again, same thing. If they thought it was their bowl and they choose to, have batting practice with the bowl, so that's they're permitted to do it. I bought Tashka since.
I mean,
it's their.
As long as that you're saying it's not
tzedek.
Obviously, it is some kind of tzedek. Otherwise, they even have to pay fahanah. The guy is being harmed. Right?
No, that's not true. You have to pay fahanah even if there is a situation there is no tzedek.
It's completely dead.
No, that's not true. Because didn't we learn beforehand that a person has to pay fahanah even when there's no hezek? Right? The case if an animal eats in the rishus harabim, so there's a p'tur. The Torah gives a p'tur of shein v'regel, But if my animal eats from your food in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, I still have to pay you for the hanon. Not, but it's not a ma'isa hezek. It's not a ma'isa hezek. I mean, it's not. You're paying for the it's a separate din. It's I'm not permitted to walk away to benefit from you at your expense, you know. But that's different than paying for the, even in situations where I'm exempt from damages, where that which I've done is technically not even considered hezek. Nevertheless, I have to be. I don't mean this literally, but I have to be makir tov. I have to express my appreciation by paying you for that which. The favor that you've done for me, especially since you lost out as a result. Yeah.
Let's say they use the ball for batting practice.
Right.
So would they have to pay the worth of a baseball? I think that's not another giving.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know about that. He's saying in terms of the batting practice example. I mean, it's pretty easy to determine what hana is when you're talking about the consumption of food. If you're talking about the hana of breaking a glass, so I don't know that we would necessarily say.
For the time that he had it.
I'm saying if, but that's a bad example.
Right. No, but hana I think means, what does hana mean? Hana means because of you, so now I save myself money. That's what hana means. It's because of the fact that I was able to eat your cow, so now I didn't have to pay for my own lunch.
So they lost it, and they
just took it and they lost it, so then they probably don't have to pay for hana either. I didn't get any hana from it. Hana means only when I'm there, I benefit at your expense. But if I didn't benefit, I don't have to pay for anything. Oh, so I don't know if that's called hana. Well, this is a perfect example because, you know, this is a tangible form of hana. So is it only when it comes to achila? I don't know all the other forms of hana that. No, we don't. We had a whole sugya of zenen and zelachasa. They were not only eating cases. If a person is looking for a place to live, remember, and he's willing to rent a room in a hotel room, and he finds a guy who leaves his door open, so there as well.
So
was the concept of hana. I suppose, yeah. Yeah. It has to be a monetary value. Right, there has to be something monetary. You can't just say that you did me a favor.
I assume there was some arrangement prior to this with the father. If he gave the ball to the father, there was some arrangement between the one who
right.
owned the ball and
right.
So he probably is higher for the tna'im.
Right. If there were specific conditions, right. Right. I mean, the bottom line is the Gemara discusses only the cow case. So we'll leave, you know, situations of other you know types of property aside for now. But again, this idea, which I don't remember who said it last week, but somebody really said it last week. We find in the Kilos Yaakov and as well in Nachos David and source number 4, you'll find that as well. Well, okay. There is, however, an interesting question which some very sharp achronim raise, and I'd like to share this with you very briefly. It comes from a Mishnah Gittin. We actually saw this din cited earlier somewhere. I don't remember where. But the concept, briefly, we touched upon the concept of Hezek Shein and Nikar. So there's a Mishnah in Gittin, this particular sugi is found in a number of places in Shas, but the Mishnah in Gittin, source number 5 on the handout, it's a short Mishnah, teaches the following din. Hametamei v'hamedameya v'hamenaseich b'shogeg pater b'mezer chayef. Which means, the Mishnah discusses three situations of a specific type of damage, namely, where I damage you in a manner where the damage is real, but it's not recognizable. You can't tell by looking at it. So, for example, metame would mean that if I take your truma and I metame it, so now nobody could eat it. Yeah. Go ahead. Okay. So if I'm a tami your truma, let's say, then that's a loss. But if you look at the truma, it looks like it did beforehand. So then that's one example. Hamidameya is that if I take chulin and truma and mix it up one with another, it's also a loss. Even though the kohen can now eat it, but it's going to be cheaper now because the kohen realizes that I can't eat it, and he's going to take advantage. Perhaps it's not worth as much to me now as it would have been beforehand, prior to the chulin and truma being mixed up. And the last case is a nasech. If a person comes along and says Rashi, "Menasech yain shel chaveiro," a person goes ahead and takes his neighbor's wine and is menasech it, which means he uses it in a manner where it becomes aser bahana because he pours it l'shem avodah zarah. So in these situations, where you have three examples of damages which are done, which the damage is real, you know, and the nizak is going to feel the effects of it, but because it's what's called hezek shen nikar, so we say the following: that if it's done b'shogeg is pater, if it's done b'mezid is chayef. Now the Gemara discusses why this is so. Why should there be a difference between shogeg and mezid? Generally, there isn't. But I want you to take a look at a comment that Rashi makes over here and see if we can ask a question of what we just said. Rashi says b'shogeg. What would be an example of menaseich b'shogeg? What does it mean that I poured my friend's wine l'shem avodah zarah b'shogeg? Even before we take a look at Rashi, what does that mean? I took the wine. How do you be menaseich something l'shem avodah zarah b'shogeg? How do you do that? I understand how you. We call it Shabbos, but I forget it's Shabbos. But no, but that's not the case. We're talking about a Jew who's menaseich his neighbor's wine. A Jew does it, not the guy did it. I did it myself. How do you do a b'shogeg? Well, I'm sorry. There doesn't have to be a zara. You pour the shame of a zara. Doesn't have to even be anything there. So one possibility. Well, first of all, b'shogeg on the case of Matami Medamea says Rashi Shlo Yadashi Truma. Rashi, either you didn't realize that pouring it in such a manner, l'shem avodah zarah, would aser the wine, perhaps he thought it was his wine. If I thought it was my wine, so even though it wasn't right for me to go ahead and be menaseich my own wine, still an iser, but nevertheless, that says Rashi an example of shogeg. So if I come home one day and I open the refrigerator, I find a bottle of wine and I pour in the shame of a zara, and it turns out it was yours, so that is called menaseich b'shogeg. So what's the din in such a case? The Mishnah says you're patur from having to pay. Why? So ask Rashi, why should you be patur? Abagav the mazik b'shogeg chayiv. Don't we say that in general? If you damage someone else's property, even accidentally, you chayiv, because the kaimelon is the Gemara Paskins, the Mishnah states in the Chavav, Odimu liolam ben or ben yashen ben shogeg ben mezid. Whether a person is awake or sleeping, accidentally, intentional, is always chayiv. So Rashi says you're right, but this is different. Why? Because hacha hezek sheni nikarhu v'lo shmei hezek. This is what's called hezek sheni nikar. Unlike a broken window, which is clearly visible, a shechted animal where the hezek is right before your eyes, over here you can't tell by looking at it. The hezek is metaphysical. So this, since that's so, midini atorah, from the Torah's perspective, hezek sheni nikar is lav shmei hezek. It's not really considered damage anyhow. So then why you chayiv to pay even if it's b'mezid? So the Gemara says, and Rashi quotes over here, b'mezid you chayiv to pay mishum the konsuhu rabbanan. The rabbanan knast you for going ahead because it's not right to go ahead and just take someone else's property and destroy it in such a fashion. So therefore it's a knast me the rabbanan. Midaraisa, you're not chayiv to pay in these situations because it's what's called hezek sheni nikar. What did we just say? We just said that according to Rashi, the way Rashi just formulates this, if you take a bottle of wine that you think is yours, and you pour it the shame of a zara, so you're putter from having to pay. Why? Because it's hezek sheni nikar. So what's a question we could ask on Rashi based on what we just based on the Gemara Ksuvos? If you think it's yours, you shouldn't have to pay anyway, right? You shouldn't have to pay anyway. We just got through saying that if they inherit the animal, thinking it was theirs, so they're putter. Why? Because how are they supposed to know? So therefore, they're going to be putter even by hezek shenikar, even when they shech the animal. So over here, Rashi says, they're putter from having to pay for the wine that you poured thinking it was yours. Why? Because it's hezek shenikar. As if to imply that if it was not hezek shenikar, so then you'd be chayiv. Yeah?
It's not hezek shenikar, the wine. It's missing.
No, you poured it into another bowl.
Oh, you poured it into
a bowl. Yeah. No, you didn't pour it out. still there. He poured it in another cup. Right. 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 So. Exactly. Good. So that's the question is a strong question. The answer is a good one also. So the Sefer Ner LaMaor. Great, these DVDs. You can pick up these farm. I'll put a pitch in for this DVD if you don't even know about it. There's a website called HebrewBooks.org. All right, for $36, you buy a double DVD set, and they have the Tzura Sadaf. You can't search for words, but they have the Tzura Sadaf. They claim of every Sefer, every Shas Tshuva Sefer printed ever until this century and many in this century. So they have about 2,000 or 3,000 volumes of Sfarim, maybe more than that actually, and you can find Sfarim that you can't find anywhere else. So I don't know if anybody here has Sefer Ner LaMaor on their shelf. I don't, so you get a PDF form and just, it's very nice. Anyway, you have to know what you're looking for. That's the flip. You can't search words, but Tzura Sadaf is there. So you have over here, it's a lot of fun though. I mean, you just open up the book and you see the Sefer is there and you just find it, boom. So what do you see over here? So he asked this question. Mashin is topic. Quote, Harasa Bahadur Kaimalan, the other Mamazik Af Beshoge Chayev. Question was regarding this din that a person who damages, even accidentally, he's going to be chayiv him sabar husho shalo. If he thought it was his, chayiv alo. Umidivri atosos reish perikam ini. Atosos learns, and we just saw that ba'afelo in Tosos di maskul ba'afelo mavur. It's not ba'afelo. It's telling maskul b'shmuel. But okay, Tosos claims the b'ksvur in shalavi and ainim shalim meziku. Right? Tosos quotes that din. The tzarchian mi menasech. The question that is raised over here is that this seems to go against the din of Menasech B'Shogeg. The Rashi explains in Chulin, Dafim and Aleph, Shesavar Shehu Shalaw Pater Mishum Hezek Shein Anikar. Avavalav Hachi Chayiv. It sounds like you'd be Chayiv if we're not for the fact that it's Hezek Shein Anikar. V'yesh L'chalek, along the lines of that which a number of you said, yet can differentiate Bain between a situation of Hayitzarech La'asuke Adayte Umhu Shalachayrim, where a person should have stopped to think, wait a second, is this mine, is this his, like in the case of the Menasech, it's not expected for the children to anticipate that perhaps that which we inherited from his father is not really his. That's not incumbent upon them. As opposed to, if I'm pouring wine, again, we don't know the specifics of that case, like you said, whose reshus was it in, etc., but in almost any way you're going to look at it, it's much less of an excuse over there. You should have made sure before you menaseh this wine that it was not yours. So therefore, Rashi says, if it were not for the fact that it was Hezek Shein Anikar, you would be chayiv. And over there, there wouldn't be excuse, well, it wasn't mine. So we're not saying as a general rule that whenever you destroy someone's property thinking that, wow, it's yours, that you're automatically off the hook. And that's very important, because the way we left things from the cipher, one perhaps would have walked away thinking that any time I damage someone's property, thinking it's mine, so that's it. That's the Gemara Ksuvos. Not necessarily. The Gemara Ksuvos is saying specifically when it comes to Yarshim, because perhaps there's no way they could have known, but certainly we wouldn't have expected them to stop and think about that. Because after all, even if they stop and think about it, there's nothing for them to think about. As opposed to my own property, I should know what's mine, what's not. One afterthought regarding this, and that I found today in the Sefer, the Shavs Chuvas Maharsham. So he discusses the following case. Bidvar Hasha'ela. You ever seen that abbreviation before? Took me a few minutes to figure this one out. Okay, I won't make you agonize over it. Bidvar Hasha'ela Beruven V'Shimon. Well, you'll see it. It was pretty easy to figure out later on when he speaks about Reuven. Bidvar Hasha'ela Beruven V'Shimon. Shadarkon liknos mashke arik. I don't know what arik means. It's a certain type of drink. Reuben and Shimon, they have the practice of buying a certain mashke, the sochar echad mirachok, from a certain supplier who lives far away. V'shaleach tamid haschora yedei sirsor spilter. I don't know if that's maybe his name. And they send the merchandise with a middleman, with an agent. The sirsor is a shaliach. A sarsur. right? What's the Spilter is, I don't know if that's his name. I don't know. It must be his name. Veruvain Darko Lelech Tamid Mishkal Shloshim Grad, which is, let's call it 30 grams. I don't know what it is exactly. Ruvain, his order always is, he gets exactly 30 grams worth of this drink. Let's say 30 gallons. I don't know. V'shimon, Darko Lelech, Likach, Mishkal, Shloshim V'chamesh gallons. U'shneim mochrim l'achodim l'habayim l'achanus. They both have their own stores, and they sell them to their own people they sell them to. Again, to Ruvain and Shimon, they have a special order that they always order, and the Shaliach, the Sarso, brings it to them. So what happens is one day this agent picks up both orders for Ruvain and Shimon. Avor Ruvain al shloshim gallons, vavor Shimon al shloshim v'chamesh gallons. So he has the orders. Asarzur nasa neksafim laseisul imsol l'chol echad shalo. He carries it on his shoulders to bring it to them. V'heim tov. And then a mistake occurs. V'nastul l'Ruvain mishkal shloshim v'chamesh l'Shimon mishkal shloshim. So without realizing it, Ruvain walks away with Shimon's barrel, and Shimon walks away with Ruvain's barrel. V'Ruvain kvar mochar is kol achavish alo. Ruvain sold that which he already purchased. So again, which one did he sell? He sold the 135, which he thought was 30. V'cheskas mishkal shloshim. U'ke'eis nisa Shimon chavish alo. Shimon goes home, and he starts measuring his barrel. V'ra'ah, and he realizes she'ein bo rak shloshim. There's only 30 here. V'no da shahuchlefu achavios. He realizes that they were swapped. So now the one who sold the merchandise as well as this agent come to Ruvain and they say, hey, you have to pay moso hagradin, the extra volume that you took for yourself, even though when he sold it to someone else he did not sell it for the price of 35 because he didn't even realize that. So the bottom line is he sold somebody else's merchandise. So the question is, based on the principle of Adam Uli Olam, perhaps we should say that he's chayv to pay. Well, again, what happened over here? Right, Reuben was supposed to get 30, Shimon was supposed to get 35. They switch, so Reuben gets the 35 and he sells it. They come back to him a little time later and say, you took the 35 and you got to pay for the extra 5 gallons that you purchased. So what would you say?
No, the mocher should give Shimon another 5 gallons, and Reuven, what is sold, keeps, he didn't make any more profit anyhow. So
you don't, a mazik doesn't only pay when he makes profit. He pays for damages.
He didn't pour 35 liters.
Right, it's in. But so you're saying it wasn't his fault, but still, Adam Uli Olam. Maybe you should have stopped to think, I don't know.
Nah.
No.
If you buy from a store and they give you by mistake something and you
right.
sell it to somebody else.
So okay. So he writes, anybody disagree? Anybody think yeah? But who has an obligation to measure?
The
seller.
Why does he have that duty?
Right.
Why does he have the duty to measure?
Yeah. No, but you're saying Ruvain? Ruvain, the seller. No, there are different sellers here. Right. One thing I'm confused about now, which didn't bother me at all when I read this beforehand, is I'm trying to think how the question gets off the ground, because once Ruvain purchases it, so unless you say it was clearly a mistake, so generally when it comes, maybe that's the answer, since there was clearly an understanding, and Ruvain's not denying that, there was an understanding that he was buying 30 gallons. So it turns out that when it was 35, so that was Mekachtos, and he would have normally had to pay for that difference. the question is, whose fault is it now that it's gone? Now that it's gone, so we're going to make him, because he didn't bathe it. The money's gone. That's the bottom line. It's not like he didn't benefit from it, and the wine isn't here anymore. Right.
So ultimately, it would not be my fault
right.
that I gave him the incorrect quantity. The other guy, the one who purchases from me, doesn't have really have to check.
Right. Okay. Good. Good. So what he does over here is he quotes obviously the Gemara that we've been learning, or this Gemara of. No, I'm just trying to think why, you know, I'm sort of like what Mr. Holland just said, I'm trying to think why we would even think about blaming Reuven. We should blame the agent who sold it to him. In other words, when you sold it to Reuven, you weren't careful to measure it, so then what right do you have now to blame Reuven for having sold it? It's really, it all started, maybe not. Actually, no, because maybe, you know, it said Vehemto, which means that Reuven and Shimon really messed up over here. So he just delivered it. He puts it in front of both of them, and Reuven took the wrong one. Okay, so I take that back. So as far as the agent is concerned, he didn't do anything wrong. He delivers both of them, the packages. Vehemto. I mean, okay, so that's so now. Where? Behemtau, Benasnu Leruvain, Mishkal Shloshim. You mean you should say Velakhu?
I don't have
no.
Well, it says Vahasar Shenosam Laksafim Laseis Lemsor Lachol Echad Eshelo, Behemtau, Benasnu. When it was given, Reuven was given Behemtau. I think Behemtau was not. I don't know. I don't know that this would pass necessarily a dictum test, but I think it's clear. The Haim Tau makes it clear that it was their mistake. No, okay. No, so if he's involved in a mistake, it's hard to understand how he could be part of this claim. It says that he's... Right. So after quoting the position of Tosos, that Onus Gamma replies in a situation where you damage something thinking it's yours, so he writes in the last paragraph over here, V'lachori yesh l'chalik. L'chori you could really differentiate. The b'hadu parsha l'avi and l'hoyo l'makol mihivadash ein okein. It's a little different than that which we said by the Manasseh case. In the case of the Yarshim, there's no way that they could have possibly even verified whether or not it belonged to their father or not. Kevin shemeis avihem ve'eicheifo yachakuru azeh. How are they going to possibly go ahead and investigate this matter? They're going to put up a sign in the post office, if you lent my father a cow? I mean, there's no way they could possibly know. L'chein, havalei ka'ones. Aval, benidon, didan, in our case, harei hayu b'yado lishkol hamashke. They could have measured it. L'kahadi, vamos, perchtes, iboyle, tapetes, iboyle, l'mitame. I'm not even sure what case that is referring to. Aval, nir lahavi raya. But he says, perhaps, you could bring a raya. Despite this difference, it could be arrived from another case. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Choshen Mishpat Simen Reish Lamed Beis. The Hamocher Dover Sheyesh Bo Mum. You sell a car, and the car has a significant mum that was not known at the time of the sale. V'asibah Lokech. So the guy, the Lokech, buys the car. He drives away and he makes another mum. He dents the other side of the car. Before he realizes that there was a forced mum, the first mum, which allows him to go back on the deal. So again, so what happens? I buy your car. You forgot to tell me that that the car doesn't drive in reverse. You forgot to mention that. So I pull out of the driveway and I smash up the front fender. So and now when I realize that I can't back up, deal's off. So the question is, do I now have to pay you the broken fender? So says the Shulchan Aruch, "Dimasa davar shedarek olasoso pater." If that which I did is something that people normally do, part of the normal, I suppose, wear and tear. This is a normal type of mum. So then I don't have to pay you. But if what I did, like the case I just gave, smash the fender up, so then I have to pay you even upon, you know, the reversal of the sale. So that's the Din and Shulchan Aruch. He quotes the Nesivos HaMishpat Sham Sif Kufhei Hiksha. So he asks the question, Nesivos asks, how is this different than a case where the kids inherit the father's animal? The Peturim Alehezek Im Lo Nenu. They don't have to pay except for the benefit. So why is that even a question? Because over there, they thought it was theirs and they don't have to pay anything. So why are you here? They have to pay. But here it's the Hacha came into Efshar Livdok Achar Hamum. Since they could have what? Again. Oh no, over here. Came into Efshar Livdok Achar Hamum. Kodim Shinishtamish Bo. You could have looked very carefully to see if the car drives in reverse before you started using it. So therefore, Dami La'ones Da Aveda. So it's like a case of Ones Da Aveda, the Chayiv. Says you see the Ma'asa Davar Shadarkal Asoso L'Kuliyama Potter Avsha Yevsha Livdok Acharav Karchus Dami B'Chai Gav Nolodis Tegneva the Potter from Cain Hachanami B'Nido Didon Shu Omid Limkor V'Darko V'Kach Tomid V'Einu Mavchin HaMashke B'HaMashkel Ki Mamin LaHasocher the Potter. So it says basically it comes down to two different types of onsin. There's like an onus of Gneva and there's a greater onus than that. And over here he's saying, in our case, since the merchandise was always sold right away, and this is the way it was done, and they did not necessarily, or ever, as you just mentioned, is normally common practice, start measuring it, weighing it, so even though Shimon did, Reuven is not going to be at fault for having not done so. And that seems to be how he concludes over here. Tries to bring another raya, another case that I'm not familiar with. But, you know, this question. That this seems to be his conclusion over here, that since it's an ones kein gneiva, why is it ones kein gneiva? Because he didn't. He basically says, you see from that din and shulchan aruch that when you could have, well, when it's expected, or when we could expect it, you could have looked for the mum prior to causing this other mum. So then you're going to be held responsible. Over here he's saying it's not expected necessarily that the person is going to measure it, since that's not typically the way it's done. I don't know why he has to use that dinner shulchan aruch as a raya. I don't know. Let's study this too a little more. What I wanted to do now was go on in the Gemara, but I think we're gonna stop now. I have to run out a little earlier than I expected. So we'll stop now. We're done with this.